Welcome to Ballistic Radio, the fastest growing gun talk show in the country. Join us. We're going to explore the topics of firearms, self-defense, and your rights as a law-abiding citizen. Ballistic Radio, presented by Blackfire Ordnance Group, makers of TNT and TNT Black. Firearms finishes so tough, you need dynamite to take them off. Now, here's your host, John Johnston, on 55 KRC, the talk station.
Good evening and welcome to Ballistic Radio, presented by Blackfire Ordnance Group. I'm your host, John Johnston. Remember, you can always listen to past shows at ballisticradio.com. Get the latest behind-the-scenes info at facebook.com/ballisticradio. Coasting with me this evening is absolutely no one again, just because I seem to be falling into the nasty habit of pre-recording the shows. I'm going to be in Memphis, Tennessee, down at Rangemaster, taking their advanced instructor's course once this airs. So it's actually a lovely Wednesday right now, slightly overcast, but hoping to start doing the live shows again. It's just the summer schedule has been really, really busy with classes and other things going on. So got a really interesting show tonight. We're going to have Jeff Gonzalez from Trident Concepts back on to discuss the Paleo Challenge that we entered into a month or so ago and actually see who really won that. Just a couple of quick updates. Was at the Pat Rogers EAG Shoothouse course this last week in Alliance, Ohio at the Alliance Police Training Center, which is a really, really cool range. Open to the public as far as training goes. They do have open enrollment classes. They bring a lot of instructors in. I would definitely go check that out. Thanks to all the guys up there. I'm going to forget some of you, but Mike and all y'all. So certainly appreciate the help. And the first rule of Black Knight Squadron is don't talk about Black Knight Squadron. Anyway, I'll stop with the inside jokes now. But went up and did the Shoothouse. It was a lot of fun. We'll talk about that a little bit tonight with Jeff. Got about 170 rounds through the FNS-9 long slide test gun, which brings the total up to just shy of 9,000. I'd have to look. Ran fine. The rifle that I ran was actually a Bravo Company KMR lightweight upper, enhanced lightweight upper. That ran surprisingly well, too, considering I had put that rifle together. Was very impressed. The Knight's Armament test gun is actually done now and is en route to me as I speak. I'll probably have it by the time this airs. Very much looking forward to playing with that. Didn't get a chance to run it up at the class just because of some invoicing issues as far as them actually getting the gun shipped to me. But that is fixed now. So without further ado, we'll get Jeff on the line and just sort of go from there with tonight's show. So joining us now, Mr. Jeff Gonzalez of Trident Concepts. Jeff, are you there?
I sure am.
So I appreciate you taking the time out of your day to record the show with me, and I'm glad we could get it figured out with our busy schedules. So
I know. I apologize for the last time, the reschedule on that one, but I do appreciate it.
No, that's fine. You had a sporting event in the family, right?
That's right. In the season lacrosse tournament for my older son. So
did he win at least? I mean,
well, they did well, but they just didn't walk away with the big trophy.
Maybe next year. So we've got a couple minutes left before we need to go to the first break. I guess for those that you're on the show pretty frequently now at this point, but for those that don't know, can you tell your background real fast?
Sure. So former Naval Special Warfare guy, both East Coast, West Coast, as an operator, as an instructor. I now am president and oversee all operations for Trident Concepts, which right now is a premier firearms and tactics training company.
Right. So, and we actually have a mutual friend, Sean, whose last name I am not allowed to say on the air, and I wouldn't anyway, but saw him earlier today. He told me to tell you something, but I somehow think that if I were to say it on the air, the FCC might have a problem, but he does send his warmest regards.
Well, you know what? I anticipated something like that, so I have a code word that I have created in order to pass along my sincere feelings for Mr. Sean.
Yeah, go
and
ahead.
And that is, my code word is going to be Juliet Alpha. So I will reference Sean as Juliet Alpha.
Okay. I will I'll send him a text message here at some point and see what kind of reaction that grabs. So it's always fun to talk to both of you guys and see what lovely things you're saying to one another through me. But so anyway, we'll talk about this. We got a couple minutes before the break. We 4 minutes before the break. Thank you, Eric. So since we're not doing the show at the usual time, it's harder for me to keep track. So I apologize to the listeners if I sound slightly disjointed. That's why. So you and I did a paleo purge challenge a couple months ago. When was that? Was that April or March?
That was April.
Jeez, time flies. We were going to announce the winner at the beginning of May, but you had other things that you couldn't appear on the show. So what did we come up with? Are we calling this a tie? Is that?
Well, I think you were calling it a tie. I was telling you that based off of our dialogue, our discussions, that you clearly were the winner.
Oh, okay. Well, I don't know about that, but if you say so. I still think we'll call it a tie for reasons I'm not going to get to on air. But I have to say that was the least pleasant experience of my life, or at least one of the least pleasant experiences of my life. And I took great pleasure in the not paleo hashtag once it was over.
Yes, I saw that.
So, and for those that don't know, the Paleo Challenge was actually for charity. I was representing RampageForTheCure.org. You were representing Gary Welt.
Correct.
Unfortunately, Gary passed during the challenge. I don't know if you'd like to take a minute to say something about Gary.
Well, you know, Gary was one of my mentors. I think we had talked a little bit about him on the last show. You know, he was a icon in the community, just a stalwart for all things medical. We have, you know, I think the conventional forces have Gary to thank because he was instrumental in creating the TCCC program that you now know and love, as it saved so many lives. So, like I said, he was just a true, you know, he's a true warrior. Yeah, unfortunately, about I think it was 2 weeks into the challenge, 2 weeks in April, he had he finally succumbed to ALS, Lou Gehrig's disease, and unfortunately, I was obligated; I could not make his memorial. But I've since had an opportunity to kind of get closure on that. But yeah, that was a tough one. That was a really tough one.
Yeah. Well, I'm sorry to hear that, Jeff. And something that you and I had come up with before we were doing the contest, but I'll announce it to the listeners as well. We had already decided that the money that we were competing for, we were going to both donate to each other's charities. We've actually we're very lucky to have some listeners also pledge some money. To the charities, so
absolutely.
I have not figured out exactly what the total is going to be that's going where and to whom, but by my rough estimate, I want to say we raised over $1,000 for our respective
easily charities. I kind of kept a close eye on it's difficult to know if it was a large if the contributions were largely influenced through our publicity of the issue, but I will take some solace in knowing that at least some people that I received several emails, messages, and phone calls from people asking and telling me how they had both engaged in some charitable donations to both charities. So,
right. You
know, I feel very, very good. It accomplished what we wanted to do, which was bring more awareness to these two very important charities. And for me, it was, you know, obviously to get a little bit of closure with Gary, but, I think it was a huge success. I don't think there was really anything. I know that it was tough. It was a medieval torture that lasted a month for you.
You know, what's funny about that. And then we've got to go to break is I still, ever since that, I'm not drinking Monster or eating Altoids anymore. It completely broke me of the habit, which makes me sad.
Right on.
Yeah. So we got to go to break. Just a quick reminder too. And I forgot to mention this. This segment was brought to you by Colt. Colt, the legend continues. See, this is what happens when I record the shows instead of doing them live. Apparently I get worse, but anyway, we'll go to break. When we get back, we'll talk more with Jeff. Right now you're listening to Ballistic Radio. Welcome back to Ballistic Radio, presented by Blackfire Ordnance Group, makers of TNT and TNT Black. Firearms finishes so tough you'd need dynamite to take them off. Visit them online at blackfireordgroup.com. Just a reminder, this segment brought to you by Walther. Walther and the new PPX. So, we are speaking with Mr. Jeff Gonzalez of Trident Concepts. We were just discussing the Paleo Purge Challenge that Jeff and I competed in last month. You're back on the line, correct, Jeff?
I sure am.
Perfect. I hadn't hung up on you on accident yet, so that's good. Yeah, so thank you for completely changing my personality and destroying two of the most harmless vices that I have. I appreciate your intervention there.
My pleasure.
So, yeah, it was funny because I tried to drink a Monster after we got done with that and felt like I was having a heart attack in high speed.
That's so hilarious.
It's kind of like the heroin addicts, you know, they go to prison for a couple years, they get out and they try and, you know, push the same amount that they were used to, and they OD and die. I guess that's sort of what happened. I guess when you go from like a 4 or 5 can a day habit to nothing, it's, yeah, anyway.
It's a little tough.
Yeah, just a little bit. So I guess we'll get into the meat of the show, and we were going to talk about, I just recently got done with the Pat Rogers Shoot House class, and there were some interesting things that were going on during the course of the class. One of the things that I thought was intriguing was that had a conversation about competence and how that occurs and whether or not people are aware of it and how they train for it and things of that nature. So do you want to, I guess my first question would be, talk about how people learn to do things and how they learn to accomplish things?
Well, we reference it. There are two realms, basically. You know, there's the conscious realm, and then there's the subconscious realm. And, you know, obviously in our training programs, you start, you know, you're introduced to a concept at that conscious level where you have to be very focused and aware of what you're doing. And the first level of conscious competent, or the first level there, is conscious incompetent, where you're just learning the skill, but yet you are fumbling everything. You know, you're not doing it right. You're missing the target. You're all over the place.
Right.
Then through practice, through training, through focused awareness of what you're doing, you become conscious competent. In other words, you have to be, your brain has to be fully engaged. You have to be able to work through the techniques while you are intrinsically aware of what's going on. And that completes basically the conscious realm. When you become conscious competent, you have, in a sense, arrived.
Right.
However, we move into the subconscious world, and I talked to you a little bit about that. To us, and the way that we have interpreted, you know, the medical aspects of the three realms, the conscious, the subconscious, and the unconscious, the subconscious lies right below the surface.
Right.
So the way I like to term this is, imagine that you are walking home from a coffee shop that's around the corner from your house, and you've done this thousands of times, right? But you're on the phone talking to whoever. You're talking to somebody, and you have to be engaged in that conversation. You're focused on the conversation. So your conscious mind is allotted to the conversation. That leaves your subconscious mind to get you from the coffee shop back to your house. And you somehow navigate without really having to think, turn right here, step over curb there. You just kind of, you flow, in a sense. And you are able to do that because you have walked that route thousand times.
Yeah.
So that's the subconscious realm. And the subconscious realm also has both the incompetent and the competent. And so our ultimate goal is to achieve subconscious competency, where you are not really thinking about what you're doing. It's just happening, but it's happening, and it's happening so precisely that it's successful.
Right.
And that's kind of what we look for in our programming, is to reach that subconscious competent level.
Yeah, it was kind of interesting to see, you know, because I've not done any house, you know, close work at all before, so this was well outside of my comfort zone. And, and I'm sorry to take a show where I'm talking to you and discuss the Pat Rogers class.
No, Pat's a good friend of mine. Absolutely.
Yeah. And you do some shoot house stuff as well, and we'll talk about that later. But
sure.
It was interesting, though, to see where I had problems and where I didn't have problems. The shooting was not an issue for pretty much the entire class. I can't think of too many shots that I took that weren't, you know, somewhere between good to excellent without sounding like more of a jerk than I actually am. But, man, I've got it on video, too. I took this one shot around in a no-shoot, like 40 yards in the dark, perfect failure drill, and it was great. From the wrong side of the hall, even. But,
nice.
Yeah, if only I had done as well with everything else that I was doing as I had done with my shooting.
Of course.
It was curious, though, to see, and I'm a gun guy, and I focus a lot on shooting, but it was curious to see the decision-making process break down as I was introduced to more things that I was uncomfortable with and I had to think about.
Well, I'm glad you bring that up, because that's a big point of contention for us.
Yes.
You know, when we move into advanced tactics like our, you know, assault programs at the CQB and any of those other things, there's a big division between them, because it's not necessarily – everybody wants to know, how are you able to function so smoothly in a shootout or in an assault capacity. And it boils down to the ability to make correct critical decisions in split seconds.
Right, right.
And that's the key. And I like how you talked about how most everybody in the class had solid shooting skills, because the problem that we run into is where we are running our shoot-house courses and we have skill sets that don't meet our standards. And what that tells us is that instead of being focused and aware of all the various critical decisions that they could make, I mean, you know, you're approaching a door, there are at least a dozen different decisions that you can make as you just approach the door, much less go through the door.
Right.
So if the shooter is more concerned about their shooting, that deviates their focal point away from where it should be, which is critical decision making.
Right. I will say that the one problem that seemed to run rampant, we'll discuss this real quick and then we'll continue on with the actual topic of the show.
Sure.
Mechanical offset seemed to be a challenge for quite a few people. I did okay with it most of the time, it seemed like, at least. It was hard for me to tell, but do you want to discuss that real quick as far as what mechanical offset is and why you laughed at that?
Well, I'll tell you why, because it ties perfectly in with the conscious, subconscious kind of thought process we were just talking about.
Right.
So mechanical offset is typically referred to when you're using long arms, like M4 weapon systems, and you have an optic, a red dot sight of some sort. Typically, that red dot sight will sit above the bore line, and the height will differ, but on average, we think industry standard is 2.5 inches above, which means that if you put the dot on the tip of the nose, which is very common with a pistol, and you let the round loose, your round inside, and this is pretty much a given inside of a house, because inside of a house it'll be hard to take a shot greater than 25 yards.
Right.
So inside of a house, you put the dot on the tip of the nose, that shot is going to hit him on the chin, which can still generate a pretty decent hit, but it's not where the shooter was intending the round to go.
Right.
And therefore, you run into all sorts of complications. And this is what's so interesting, is particularly when it gets to like a hostage shot, where you have to be so incredibly precise about shot placement.
Right.
You cannot afford to forget about mechanical offset.
Right. My favorite quote of the class, Pat was telling a story as far as, and we did some night stuff too, which was funny to watch everything fall apart in the dark. but he had a student, I get not in this class, but one of the classes, say to him, well, you know, I forgot that my mechanical offset changed at night.
And it's like,
it's, yeah, it's like, wow. So,
wow.
Yeah, I know.
Wow.
It was funny when I heard. I laughed a little bit too. So, I know, right? It's funny though. I need to be careful too, because if I tell you too many jokes, you'll probably forget about the FCC and start actually cursing and stuff, and then I'll be in trouble. But
oh well, I will work hard to not do that.
Yeah, yes, please. It was funny though, just to watch everybody as more things were introduced, have them struggle with things. Now, as far as for the average everyday person, and let's say that shooting is something that a lot of people focus on. We got a couple minutes left before we need to go to the break. Actually, 1 minute left. So I'll get into this briefly, and then we'll come back and touch on it. What do you think people should be focused on the most as far as becoming subconsciously competent at?
Well, if you want to get to that subconscious level, that competent level, you have to program it correctly.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the most important thing, is that you have to take the time to, and we talk about this in our training classes, you want to be moving with such precision in the early stages that when you go into autopilot, that subconscious role, there's going to be a little bit of, you know, gray area on the edges there. So you still, you know, if you're so precise with your movements early on that when you add a little speed, add a little pressure, add a little stress, you're going to get that fuzziness on the edges, but it'll still be within, you know, the limits or the requirements for that shot. And that's the key, is that you have to move slow. You have to be precise with your movements early on. You don't want to rush. I mean, that's the biggest thing. The biggest thing is people just want to, they want to get there right now. They want to be killer commandos right now.
Yeah.
As opposed to putting in the hard work, the discipline, and coping with the failures to get there.
Well, it's funny you mentioned failures. I actually want to talk about something that was kind of interesting that happened that I really messed up on. But we'll wait till we come back from the break. We're speaking with Jeff Gonzalez from Trident Concepts. Right now you're listening to Ballistic Radio. Welcome back to Ballistic Radio, presented by Black Fire Ordnance Group, makers of firearms finishes so tough you'd need dynamite to take them off. Visit them online, blackfireordgroup.com. This segment brought to you by TopGunSupply.com. TopGunSupply.com is your web source for fine firearms, parts, and accessories. True product specialists committed to delivering the highest level of customer support to you. They carry top name brands, including Ed Brown, Wilson Combat, Les Bear, Sig Sauer, and many more, as well as premium ARs. Whether you're looking to protect yourself or are a first-time gun buyer or competitive shooter, TopGunSupply.com can satisfy your firearms needs. TopGunSupply.com, your premier source for Sig parts and accessories. I was actually very lucky. When I was up in Alliance, I got to stop in and visit those folks, just say hello. Always grateful for the support that they have provided me in the show, and it was just kind of nice to stop back in. They've got a really nice shop, and I'm, you know, always enjoyed being a customer, was a customer before they ever did anything with us, and still buy stuff from them. Though I am going to give them a hard time. The last thing I bought from them, they didn't notice it was me, and they were like, oh, you bought something? Yeah, I did. That's why you shipped it to a John Johnston. Guess there's a lot of us running around now. So anyway, without further ado, back to Jeff Gonzalez from Trident Concepts. We're talking about levels of competence and what we should be doing in our training and how we kind of learn to do these things. So, Jeff, are you still there?
I am.
Okay. I figured you were. I heard like pots and pans in the background. And
that's
things.
Right.
You cooking lunch?
So. I am.
Wow.
Well, not really, but I'm getting there.
Okay. So you said something interesting before the break as far as putting the hard work in and actually acknowledging mistakes. I'll relate something afterwards, but have you seen a lot of people that are not necessarily good at saying, hey, I messed up?
Yeah, it's a problem that we see. You know, it's funny because I just did a blog about this, and what our experience, our observations are, is that I think folks are too afraid to fail. I think there's so much riding on, you know, there's so much ego in this industry and so much riding on how the perception of how good it can really be that I think folks actually take it to the extreme and they really won't push to that level where they are making mistakes.
Right.
Because they're afraid to make a mistake.
Well, I've never had a problem making a mistake. I try not to do it, but I seem to be pretty good at it. It was interesting, just because the last night run of the shoot house was kind of going to be the 4th of July, you know, go in and kill all the terrorists and all that. And me and the guy that I was partnered with, we had never worked together before the class, which was problematic, kind of. We tightened everything up pretty well by the last day. But it was funny, the last evening, night run or whatever, we both started making errors. And I'm not quite sure if it was just tiredness or being presented with too much or just being too gassed up as far as, you know, hey, we get to shoot a bunch of stuff. But we actually got stopped on our last run just because it was becoming slightly somewhat of a safety concern. And it was funny, though. I really appreciated that they did that because it was obvious to me, like, once I stopped and took a second, I was like, oh, too many mistakes all at once, bad. It seemed like that the fact that I posted that online almost immediately and started talking about it was surprising to people. I never really understood, you know, the folks that can't say, well, yeah, you're learning something, you mess up. So,
well, I mean, I think it's indicative in this industry. Everybody wants to kind of be the cool guy, and you know, maybe they're not quite as cool as they think they are. And, you know, it's frustrating because I think it's a huge impediment to learning. You know, I feel like what happens is people will get so focused on that they completely forget that, you know, part of training is the push to failure.
Right.
And that's the purpose behind it is, I mean, when we do our rehearsals, our full dress rehearsals or full mission profile, we're pushing ourselves because we're trying to find our failure points in training so we can correct them before we're actually on target.
Right.
And I know that's probably big picture kind of things that, and this is the other problem is people don't recognize the big picture. They get wrapped around their own little, you know, whatever it might be on the flat range or in the shoot house, and they're not thinking big picture, which I think is not necessarily their fault because maybe they've just never had that exposure to why it's so important for you to push the boundaries and to try and find out where you're solid and where you're not.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and I think something that I have going for me that maybe not everyone else does is I fully admitted years ago that I'm not cool and I'm never going to be cool. despite having beaten the Navy SEAL at the Paleo Purge Challenge, which you really should be ashamed at, Jeff, just because, you know, I'm this fat radio show host and anyway, no, in all seriousness, it's kind of nice because I'm very lucky that I get to go and train with a lot of people, and every single person that I train with is much more highly skilled than I am, both from the training they've attended and also their life experience. So going into it with no ego has never proven that hard. Obviously, I don't take myself too seriously. I am wearing multicam flip-flops right now. So
right on.
Which I'll give a free plug to SKD Tactical has those in stocks, and they are really kind of just awesome. Anyway, moving forward, now that we've discussed my choice in footwear.
Awesome.
Well, you know, so you were talking about training things the right way to start, and especially mm-hmm. going slow.
Mm-hmm.
For moving this out of the context of the shoot house, and I kind of know what you were going with there, but I'd like to make it a little more applicable to everyone that might be listening.
Sure.
Something like the draw stroke or, you know, a sidestep on a draw. What are some things that people could be drilling at quarter or half speed right now that would help them out later on?
Well, I like how you talk about different speeds because, you know, we recognize that there are basically three different speeds that we use. You know, there's slow speed, there's half speed, and then there's full speed. And one of the things that we encourage people to do, particularly in our training classes, is we don't really tell them to go faster than slow speed, which is funny because we're very, very picky about that in the beginning. We tell them, okay, we want everybody moving at slow speed. We define the different speeds, kind of give them examples of what they look like. We tell everybody, okay, this is the speed that we want you to be going at.
Right.
And what's funny is just through their own devices, you see by the end of the class, they've already accelerated to like half speed or even sometimes full speed.
Yeah.
And, some people have done it better than others, but the point is that when, you know, we use like a martial arts reference when everybody as a kid started studying martial arts, and the most popular one could have been, you know, karate or taekwondo, where you have forms and patterns that you learn and memorize, and then you perform in front of your, you know, your your elders, if you will, and they judge you. And based off your precision and your movement and all that other stuff is how you're graded. Well, the same thing can be applied here. We really want the draw stroke to be broken down into that slow movement, that slow methodical movement. Because what we're striving for is every time that pistol comes from the holster to the target, that sight needs to settle precisely where you want the round to impact. I don't want it to go to full extension and then have to move the sight to where I want the bullet to impact. I want the weapon system to be driven to that point. Right. And that's where going at slow speed helps, is because as you move, and this is a great example of subconscious and conscious, because right now at that slow speed, I'm afforded the opportunity to keep my conscious mind engaged so that I can be precise about that movement. Then the more reps I do, the less likely I am to actually focus on the precision of that movement, because the precision of the movement is there. And my weapon system goes right to that impact point that I want, and without having to think about it. It's just, in a sense, it's reflex.
Right.
And a funny story, I'll tell you real quick if we have time.
Yeah.
Which
yeah.
has something to do with this. So it had been a while since I've actually done anything at like full speed, but I was offered the opportunity to go in and shoot like a pilot program for a series, and we don't know if it's going to get taken or what. But the interesting thing was, you know, it had a lot to do with my former job. And so fully jocked up in character and hitting targets and, you know, doing a bunch of stuff. And I was, it was basically a hostage rescue type mission. So moving at quicker paces. And you know, of course, because the cameras had to always move, we had to reshoot certain scenes over and over and over again because they wanted all these different angles.
Right.
So one of the interesting sidebar conversations that I had was with one of the role players, one of the actors who was playing a bad guy. And he came out during one of the breaks and asked, hey, is there anything that I can do better for you? And I'm like, oh, I think you're doing a great job as a bad guy. You know, I shoot, you fall. I mean, it's awesome.
That's the perfect bad guy.
The perfect bad guy. And he's like, well, you know, I'm just a little nervous because every time you're shooting me in the face, and it makes me a little nervous. and I hadn't even thought about it. It never even crossed my mind. But every shot, and afterwards, every shot I was taking by default was just the rifle just was driving right to the face. First few rounds were going right to the face, and I wasn't even aware of it.
Yeah.
I had to really kind of think about it. I kind of gave him that slant cocked head look, and I was like, what are you talking about? And then I thought about it. I'm like, oh, shit, yeah, I am doing that. You know, and that's that subconscious, you know, practice, never even thinking about it, just instinct, reflex, without, I mean, it's like I kind of stood back a little bit, and I was like, wow, good to know that stuff is still there.
Right, right. Well, and we got to go to break just because it's time for commercial, which is nice, too, because it'll actually give Eric, the producer, time to bleep out the other four-letter word that you just put.
I caught it right at the second. I was like,
Yeah. So anyway, we're talking with the very foul-mouthed Jeff Gonzalez from Trident Concepts. Right now you're listening to Ballistic Radio. We'll talk afterwards. Welcome back to Ballistic Radio, presented by Blackfire Ordnance Group, makers of TNT and TNT Black. Firearms finishes so tough, you'd need dynamite to take them off. Visit them online at blackfireordgroup.com. This segment brought to you by the Polypalooza 2 Memorial Training Conference. Join some of the top trainers in the country August 16th and 17th at the Raven Concealment Systems facility in Northern Ohio, where they will be teaching some of the most vital self-defense skills that every armed citizen should know. Lesson blocks will cover a myriad of topics suitable for shooters and students of all skill levels. All skill levels are welcome. This is a great first conference class, whatever, to go to. For more information, click the Polypalooza 2 tab on BallisticRadio.com. Registration's only $250, and all of the money is going to benefit the Paul Gomez Children's Trust. Remember, click the Polypalooza tab on the BallisticRadio.com homepage for more information and save the date, August 16th and 17th. I will be up there, and I'm looking forward to seeing every one of you. Anyway, back with Jeff Gonzalez of Trident Concepts. Now, I was talking with Eric during the break, Jeff, and he says that one more in your band, you're not allowed back on the show. So, just
good Lord,
you got about 9 minutes, man. You just got to buckle down and think pure angelic thoughts.
Good Lord!
Pretend you were in the Air Force instead of the Navy.
That's helpful.
Yeah. Wow, you almost did it right then when I said that.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, we were talking about you were telling a story about a project you were working on and how you kept shooting one of the role players in the face, phrasing, and how that was just kind of what you had defaulted back to. That's a pretty good example of just without even thinking about it, falling right back into what you'd trained?
I think so. I mean, it was part of the process. It was part of the programming, if you will. And we look at training as programming. You know, that's one of the things that I think we do differently than everybody else, is we are programming the end user to respond a certain way. And that programming will hopefully pay dividends, you know, when their mind is occupied with things. You know, that's one of the things we always try to talk about, is that in the middle of those gunfights, or the middle of those whatever it is that you're doing, you know, your brain is probably going to be occupied with other things. It can't really be taking the time to focus on mounting my sight, remembering mechanical offset, remembering to shoot the threat to the ground. All of those things are probably just, your brain is overloaded with all the stimulus that it's being presented with. There's just too much going on.
Right. And and this is something that is completely unrelated to what you just said, but it was funny and it just occurred to me. Now, I recorded an episode with Pat Rogers like 4 or 5 months ago, and I have to say, he made the entire episode without saying a single curse word. Which
is
for,
that right?
Yeah, which for Pat is pretty darn good. So I'm
good non sequitur there.
Yeah, I'm disappointed, Jeff. So anyway, I'll stop giving you a hard time now. Even though you did lose to the radio host. So anyway, wow, now I'm just teasing you with it. So as far as for people that are incorporating this kind of thought process into their training program, we've covered going slower when you're learning something, to do things precise every single time, to work on it. Do you think that... The cliche is always that smooth is fast, and while there is something to that, at a certain point getting faster only comes from going faster. When do you think people should be thinking about, okay, now I just need to work on speed? Is there an indicator that, all right, I'm halfway there and now I need to work on this other half?
Well, yes and no. I mean, we will say that. Like, for a good example is baselines, when we shoot baselines. And I just had this conversation the other day. So what a baseline is it's your ability to get a genuine understanding of a particular skill. So let's just use the example of a one-round drill from the 7-yard line from the holster.
Yeah.
Right? So shooting this, you would basically, you know, move as fast, and here's the opposite words, as fast as you can guarantee the hit. Because in order for you to collect the data, the hit, it has to be 100% accurate.
Right.
So when you draw and you hit that target, you know, you take a set number of repetition, and you know, you take the fastest and slowest times, you eliminate them, and then you round off you average the remaining, and that should give you your baseline time. So when you can take that baseline time and on command hit it 100% of the time, then that's when you start to play with the baselines. And that's where that's what's so intriguing about our level 3 classes. We do so much work on baselines. And so I'm able to take an actual, like, it's not my baseline you're shooting. We're shooting John's baseline. And
right.
Then we take John's baseline and we sort of tweak it. So now, John, what we're going to do is we're going to cut your time by 20%.
Yeah.
So instead of you having a full 2 seconds, whatever the time was that you got, you now only going to have, one second and like 9/10 of a second or 8/10 of a second to do the same
right.
skill. And when you, that's where you start to see the speed come into the equation, because at that point you've built a solid foundation that's capable of handling that type of speed.
Right.
When you try to go fast before that foundation is settled, it's hit or miss. Literally, I hate to use that pun, but it really is hit or miss. It's not guaranteed. And that's what we're trying. There are no guarantees. Of course, I should caveat it with that saying. But what we found extremely successful is when we work the baselines and we really push the students to kind of perform to their baseline, to that expectation, and then we challenge them through. I would like to say there's a method to the madness. It's not crazy. Hey, let's figure out what Rob Leatham's doing for a 1 second drill and let's do that.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's not very practical. It's not very realistic for the average. I would say it's not very realistic for, like, you know, 90% of the shooters out there.
Yeah. As long as I don't have to shoot Robert Vogel's baseline, that's I think I'll be okay.
Exactly.
And for those, the reason why I bring Bob up, and he's a buddy of mine. He did recently post a video that I thought was interesting, where he had a draw to shot and a reload that was 0.95 seconds.
Good Lord.
Yeah, one round, reload, another round, 0.95 seconds. And if you haven't seen that, Jeff, you really need to track it down, because it's amazing to
I'm
watch.
Sure.
So since we're talking times and we've got baselines down, and everyone that listens to the show really wants a way to measure themselves, and I would suggest this is where going and competing in one of the shooting sports is a good way to do that. But if people are working on something like a draw to shot at 7 yards on an 8-inch circle, what do you think an acceptable time is, or somewhere in that range? And I'm sorry to try and pin you down on something like that without notice, but
well, it's okay.
And it's turned into the McDonald's drive-thru. Oh, Jeff, we're going to have a talk off air. Are you still there, buddy?
Oh,
yep.
Hold on.
Yep.
Hang on.
Okay.
Just a second. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm there. Don't walk wherever you just walked.
Okay. So, sorry about that.
That's
fine. I must have moved.
Yes. So we've got a couple minutes left before the end of the show. And actually, no, we don't. Tell me that time just real fast, and then I'm going to kick you off the air and never invite you back on. I'm kidding.
I would say a time 1 second from the holster seems ultra fast. So I would say if you're doing it at about a second and a half, you're at the upper limits of skill.
All right. Average everyday people. Jeff, I appreciate you taking the time out of your day to come on and frustrate my producer and drop some good knowledge on us. I will talk to you later, sir.
Thanks, sir.
Have a good day. Of course, now I put him on hold before he was done talking, because it's been that kind of show. Anyway, next week I don't know who we're going to be talking to yet, because I've got 3 or 4 different options, but it will be an awesome show. Remember, you can check us out at ballisticradio.com for all the past episodes. Like our page at facebook.com/ballisticradio. Thanks for listening, everyone. As always, be safe and see you next Sunday at 7 p.m. Fuck.